Ladies and gentlemen, my darling's distractions.
Life finds a way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to My Darling's Distractions. My name is Luke, and I'm joined, as always, by my lovely wife, Deb.
Hey, Luke. Hey. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Hey, so if you've never listened to this podcast before, let me just tell you what it's all about. It's a it's a podcast where we sit down and talk with our darling about something that distracts them, and sometimes we do a quiz about it. So
yeah,
that's generally the format of what we do. So, Deb, I wanted to ask you a question before we got started.
Okay.
Have you been staying warm?
Yeah. I mean, aside from the occasional toes and fingers, we did a afternoon hike the other day on the golf course that's adjacent to our neighborhood, and that was kind of cold.
Yeah.
I didn't have a face covering, so I was feeling it in my cheeks, but otherwise, yes, our house is very warm.
Yes, it's been...
despite the nature what they're throwing at us right now.
Yeah. I would say normally it's kind of boring to talk about the weather, but right now I think it's exciting because it's cold enough that some of our pipes have literally frozen in the walls.
And I wouldn't say that's exciting.
Okay.
But it definitely is a departure from like boring weather talk.
Right. It is. Yeah. So last night, I think it was like without wind chill, I think it was something like negative 17 with wind chill.
Yeah.
Negative.
I think we got down to like negative 45 yesterday.
With wind chill. So quite brisk. And we have one series of pipes that are of water lines that run right up against the edge of the wall. And they're not very thick lines. I think they're only like half an inch.
Oh, and I was so mad at myself because I even, like, I've been watching the news. I've been watching the weather. And he was like, check your pipes, let them run. And that won't let them freeze. And I was like, okay. You know, taking mental notes. But I was also saying, well, we've never had trouble with our pipes before. And we've had these low temperatures, even just last year, but no problem.
Yeah.
And I was using that kitchen sink all day yesterday. Yeah. And I guess it was like, because I was baking. So I was always turning it on. But I guess I was just using the hot water line because that's working fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the cold water.
Yeah.
None of that.
No. Yeah. Just we're down to the point where just one sink won't work because its line runs right through the kind of right next to an exterior wall where it got just cold enough to freeze. So we're trying to warm up that compartment and we're making sure that when the water comes on, we'll check out the water.
You know, and I know that at least one of our kids is kind of like me, that you just kind of want to know like, okay, how is this going to affect us? Is something going to break? And you just don't know.
Here's the reality is we won't know until it thaws and the water starts working. And then if we start to see water dripping down below, that'll tell us there's a crack in the pipe. And but we are using not normal piping. Well, I mean, it's probably normal now, but it's called Plex. Flex, not Plex. That's a different thing. Plex is a media server. Flex
that's piping. Funny because you've been saying Plex like last night and I didn't even catch it.
No, it's Flex piping. It's a little bit better for cold temps. But anyway, we are staying warm despite the cold. We didn't even leave the house yesterday. I worked from home.
Yep.
You guys didn't have school because of wind and snow and cold temps. So I was looking outside. I'm like, we have a perfect little drift forming out here in the front because nobody's stepped outside the house for 24 hours.
Oh, but we do have a family Christmas tonight about 30 miles away. So we have to start thinking about that. I think after we get done here.
Bundle up and go scrape the driveway.
Might have to shovel.
Out. Yeah. But we are not here to talk about the cold necessarily.
Nope.
We are here to talk about a topic that I have come up with for us to talk about this time.
Yep.
So, Deb,
sure
you know that I customarily call this time of the year feasting season, meaning that from basically Thanksgiving all the way through the Super Bowl, and some would say even longer.
Yeah, I like to say through the Oscars.
You get opportunities to have really nice meals where, like, you would eat things maybe you wouldn't normally eat, or you eat in quantities maybe you wouldn't normally eat.
Sure.
You eat with people you wouldn't normally eat. So I'm going to call all of that, which wraps up into a feast. And so as part of feasting season, we are going to be looking at least this episode, a part of feasting season, a member of feasting season that is special to my heart. I don't know if it's as special to you. When I brought up this topic, you're like, really?
Really? Her?
Yeah, exactly. and so today, our topic is eggs.
I love eggs. From my head down to my legs. In minutes they're done. Perfect on the run.
Heard the latest news about eggs and cholesterol? Look for this ad in these magazines.
The Incredible Edible.
Oh, man. And so, like, what's the Arrested Development connection there with Anne?
Oh, yes. So Anne, her character on the show is often called Egg inadvertently.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is.
And so there's just often that they will... She's kind of a... She's portrayed as a kind of a plain Jane, nothing really special.
A great
just kind
character.
Of like... unimpressive, full, you know, like she's constantly not seen in the background.
Right. People don't know she's there.
Exactly. Whenever she's brought up by George Michael, who kind of adores her, they're like,
her?
Her? Anne? They call her Egg. There's a point where I think George Michael or maybe just Michael says, way to plant, Anne.
Mm-hmm.
And just, anyway. And I think one of, she makes a snack called a mayonnaise, which is just, she puts a hard-boiled egg in her mouth and then squeezes a packet of mayonnaise in with
Ew.
It. And
oh,
it
I forgot
up, so,
that.
Yeah.
That's anyway. Great. That, okay, so that's what I think of
when you think of eggs.
When I think of egg, all recently, right. at okay. least we've had a lot of talk about her recently.
Well, I think of just a lot of times with eggs, it's an opportunity to have them in special ways during feasting season.
Yeah.
So I thought something fun we could do would be to talk about eggs, and so I asked you to develop a little list here.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to do is we're going to count down our top five ways that we like to eat eggs. Where specifically the egg is visible. So obviously you can eat like cookies and those have eggs in them. So these are our top five foods that include a visible egg in them.
Component. Okay.
Right. And so I don't know if you're okay to do like kind of a countdown. We could go back and forth between the two of us here and just talk about like, well, how do we like to eat our eggs? How do you like your eggs, Deb, specifically when you can see them?
Yeah. Okay.
So Deb, tell me of your top five, what are some of your favorite ways to eat eggs? Maybe starting with number five.
Okay. Well, I'm typically not like an egg lover.
Okay.
I don't like, I'll kind of snub my nose at eggs every once in a while.
All right.
I don't know. It just doesn't always sound good to me.
What is it about eggs that don't sound good to you?
I don't know.
They're
just
like
kind
nature's
of plain.
Miracle food.
Yeah. Well, a good source of protein.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And
so cheap.
Yeah.
So easy to cook.
Not as cheap as of late.
Yeah.
But
sure.
Yeah, I don't know, just kind of plain, like on their own. Obviously, like it's fine and good and wonderful when they you're baking.
Need them. You need them to bond things together. Yeah.
So many uses, but like like an egg dish, but I actually when I was thinking through it, I think I like more than I don't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I think about it. So number five, and I don't know if you'll count this.
Okay.
So I actually have like a two-parter for number five. I'll give you my first choice, and if you don't think it qualifies, I'll give you my second choice. Number five, I said the chicken or/steak Oscar dish at...
Oh.
Yeah. When you like have a protein, but you say that it's like Oscar.
Mm-hmm. No idea what that is.
Do you know
means.
What that is?
No.
So we went to this local restaurant, Minerva's in Sioux City, and like I didn't know what to get. And so I went to like the chicken portion. Mm-hmm. You can never go wrong, in my opinion. And it just said like chicken. I think they just called it chicken Oscar.
Okay.
And I didn't know what that meant. This was a few years ago. And so I just read the ingredients. I was like, I like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I got it and I loved it. So what it is like what makes it Oscar is like you can have any protein be Oscar. It has like usually like a steamed asparagus.
Okay.
And sometimes like a crab meat or shrimp in this case.
Okay.
And then like a hollandaise sauce over top of it. And hollandaise sauce is made with egg yolks.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Egg yolks and like a Dijon mustard and some other lemon juice, some other components.
All right. So I'm going to
say. I don't know if you would say that counts.
Is the egg
hollandaise
visible?
Sauce.
Yeah. Is the egg visible?
Well, it's the hollandaise sauce.
Well, but that's like saying the batter of the dough is visible.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You're going to say no. According to,
I just got off the phone with the officials. They have said that does not count.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I mean, I don't make the rules.
It is your thing, and you actually are making
the rules. No, I'm sorry. I don't make the rules. This has been set down by the board.
Oh.
And I'm sorry. I'm just following the rules. I don't.
Okay.
Just following the rules.
You know what? I thought that might happen.
Yeah, okay.
So I gave another option for number five. Scrambled eggs.
Oh, okay. Scrambled eggs.
With cheese.
Let me check the rules. It does work.
Yeah.
You can see them, and they include eggs.
Okay. And it's like an acceptable form of egg.
Yeah.
Scrambled eggs with cheese and salsa.
Mmm. Like shredded cheese?
Yep.
Okay. Shredded cheese and salsa. Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah, that does sound good. All right, Deb. Here's my number five.
Okay.
Egg salad sandwiches. Does that sound good to you?
No.
I think I had my first egg salad sandwich when I was overseas. It might have been riding on a ferry taking me from England to France across the channel. Boy, I should know the name of that. Anyway.
The English Channel.
English Channel, right? Okay. Taking me across the English Channel. Uh-huh. They had a little restaurant in there, and it was over lunchtime.
Oh.
And this was in high school.
Oh, okay.
And they had an egg salad sandwich. Didn't have much. And I'm like, oh, I'm starving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was high school. I was constantly eating.
You're also probably getting sick.
Well, I was getting a little sick, yeah. But anyway, but they had this egg salad sandwich. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'll try it. And I'm like, ooh, this is pretty good. Anyway.
Okay.
So I really like that. And one way I've recently really like it is you make some egg salad. I'm like salivating. This is going to be a lot of salivating.
Oh, my. So no, I'm not at all. This doesn't sound good.
Your mouth is dry as a bone. I make some egg salad and then put it on like either a piece of toast or on a English muffin, and then you butter that, like toast that, and then put it over the top. Oh, so good. So anyway, egg salad sandwich, it's a hit.
Well,
I like it also with fresh greens on it, like spinach or something.
Oh, okay. Well, so I just recently went to Sam's Club and I was looking for eggs, and the smallest packaging of eggs that they had was like 100 and some eggs.
Right, yeah.
So I was like,
Sam's Club.
I do need, yeah, but normally it's like a pack of 48
or 36. Yeah, like two packs of 18 or something.
Yeah. And so I thought, well, I need eggs, and it's the cheapest here at Sam's than anywhere for this amount.
Yeah.
So I got them, and yeah, you just recently made some egg salad.
Right. Well, you're like, we have 100 eggs to eat up, and you know, however long we have to eat up these
eggs. We've been doing a good job.
Yeah, I think we're over halfway through them, but we'll figure out.
Yeah,
I've carried that burden. Mm-hmm. All right, Deb, I'll go with number four next.
Okay.
So the reason I've carried that burden is because of number four on my list, which is deviled eggs.
Yes,
almost,
I did know that.
It's almost just like having egg salad because the ingredients are nearly identical.
Uh-huh.
Except for deviled eggs have a special place in my heart for being a Christmas treat. I remember my grandmother Eva Munson.
Mm-hmm.
She would make deviled eggs for every Christmas meal. Christmas Day, we'd eat at Christmas lunch.
I do know that is a staple at almost all of your family feasts,
right?
And I didn't grow up with that, really.
And it's kind of, yeah, I think not everybody, but a lot of people in my family like it. Just our nephew the other day when we were at Thanksgiving saw a whole plate of deviled eggs, and he said, just enough for me.
Oh, my.
like a dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
They're not bad.
No, yeah, I love, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, deviled eggs, they are a Christmas treat in my opinion. I've made a lot of deviled eggs this year.
Uh-huh.
I may have made 30, 40 deviled eggs because I take some to work. And
right.
Like, anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Deviled eggs. They're great. Pop them in your mouth.
You were pretty excited the other day when you felt like you perfected your recipe.
I did. But then the next batch wasn't as good. Too salty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
That's a common problem with you in cooking. Too much salt.
Well, I just follow the recommended amount. I don't ever add more than what it says.
Oh, except for one time, you used salt instead of...
No, and one time I used tablespoons instead of teaspoons
for
salt.
That's right.
That was quite a salty dish. All right.
Okay, my number four, a fried egg on toast.
And
I've been known to add some avocado.
Yeah.
It's really yummy.
Mm-hmm.
But just like a fried egg and buttered toast is really good.
With an avocado on top.
Mm. So good.
Yeah, that's a good breakfast. All right, what about your number three?
Number three, a country breakfast scrambler.
Oh, Deb, I didn't even think of that.
Is that on your list?
No, it should be, though.
Yeah.
All right, explain what a country breakfast scrambler and why we call it that.
Yeah, so did we start off getting it at Village Inn when we were dating?
Yeah.
There were a couple different things that we would always get at Village Inn in Cedar Falls when we would, like, it was just, maybe did we go to Village Inn maybe 8 times total or something
It wasn't,
And we would sometimes get the country breakfast scrambler, and it's just, you know, like a potato, breakfast potato, scrambled eggs, and a sausage country gravy. And we're like, we would share it, right? Split it. And it was really good. And then we started making it at home. Like, it was one of the first things that we would, like, regularly make after we got married in our little apartment. And we used tater tots and scrambled eggs and a sausage gravy. And sometimes, like, for breakfast, maybe a few times a year. I don't know. We'll make it for the kids. So it's kind of a common thing around our house.
And it's maybe the most requested breakfast. I think it's requested more than pancakes. Like, if anybody's like, ooh, I really want a really good breakfast, they will request. I don't even know if we call it a scramble or a scrambler.
Sure we do.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Deb, I'm going, my number three is going off your number five, I think. My number three is Eggs Benedict.
Okay, I wouldn't have guessed that. I don't see you eating that very often.
I don't, because it feels like it's so luxuriant. It's not, though, but it just takes steps that I don't do. So I don't have it very often, but when I do, I always like it. I do like hollandaise sauce. I like hollandaise sauce. And then I like a fried egg. I like ham. And I like bread, and I think that's everything that goes into an Eggs Benedict. And it could be wrong. I don't know if it's totally, I don't know if
Canadian bacon.
Maybe that's what the, I don't know if it's ham or Canadian bacon or what it is. Anyway, but yeah, it's just like basically a like a McDonald's breakfast sandwich, but then with hollandaise sauce on the top.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm surprised. Well, never mind. We haven't gotten there, but we'll see. All right. So anyway, that was my number three. My number two. We're getting down there to the, my favorite ways to eat eggs.
Do you think we're going to match on any of ours ever? No. I don't think we've matched at all.
Yeah, I don't know. We've not even said any of the same things. All right, Deb, my number two is a breakfast burrito. Pretty close to what you said, because you said shredded cheese and salsa and egg together.
That's true.
But here's what I like.
But I don't like the wrap.
So you throw it into a soft shell. Like, even like, oh, I love Taco John's breakfast burrito because they include potato Olays inside of it. So good. Anyway, but yeah, just a breakfast burrito. Again, I'm like dripping. Like, I'm like having to hold back from spitting all over the mic. Salivation.
Gross.
I know. So a breakfast burrito is, you've got scrambled egg in there. That's your egg. And then, and then a potato. I love a potato in a breakfast burrito. And then I really like some nacho cheese in that biz. And then you wrap that all up.
But I mean, I can appreciate that, that's something you really like. You know, I'm thinking about like your fast food options for breakfast. And my choices never include egg. Never include an
egg. That's right, because when you go to McDonald's, you just get the just sausage biscuit.
I never get breakfast at Taco John's.
If I were to replace this with something else, this breakfast burrito, I do really like just the straight up, what do they call it? Egg McMuffin. There we go.
Yeah.
I could think of the name of it. I think I struggle with it. In fact, I've struggled with it so much that I've often ordered the wrong thing.
Oh, no.
Because if you just order a McMuffin, it's just sausage and English
muffin.
Oh,
and you get it without the egg.
And then I'll get it and I'll be like,
oh, just remember egg first.
I think it's called a McMuffin with egg.
Just say egg McMuffin.
Yeah. I think I've done that sometimes and they miss. Anyway, I've often... I struggle a little
bit with fast food ordering.
Well, only because it's often my responsibility to like culminate everybody's orders. And everybody in our family, when I ask, what do you want? Everybody's like, and then like the event, it just feels like by the time we get to the ordering window, nobody has really put in the time or the effort.
I think sometimes you do pretty well. Like if it's just like, oh, okay, I just know what we get. Right. When we go here,
I will just order I don't even ask.
No.
Yeah.
But if you ask, that's what it is. If you ask, it's better if I just do it.
Right.
I think.
Well,
don't
yeah.
you think?
Apparently, because I often get there and then like, but, and then I'll be pulling
up. You freeze a little.
No, I don't freeze. I say the wrong thing, I think. Or or people have all these special, I mean, it's not really special requests, but the kids are always like, make sure mine's plain. Make sure mine's plain.
Oh, yeah. And then you say things in a weird order. It's like... Yeah, and then you'll, like, go back and try to amend the thing that you did.
Well, it's because somebody's screaming from the backseat, make sure my burger's plain.
It's really frustrating.
And on that on that burger. Can you make sure?
Yeah, and but you're like really nice. You're like trying to be nice about it. Sorry, can we? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll like pull away, and I can tell nobody in the car is happy with what I've done.
It's really frustrating. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, anyway, well, you don't have to.
Wait, did I say my number two?
No, we're on your number two.
Okay. I'm kind of wondering if you'll say this one, but I don't think you will. My number two is the Royal Red Robin Burger. Oh,
okay. All right. So explain what the Royal Red Robin Burger is at Red Robin.
Well, this might also be one that we started out sharing. We went to Red Robin, maybe for the first time when they opened it up in Sioux City. And we're like, what should we get? And we decided to share a burger, I think, and we shared the Royal Red Robin Burger, which is just a really yummy burger with an egg on top. Mm-hmm,
a fried egg. And but maybe it's not totally. It's fried. Over easy.
I don't know. It's so runny.
Yeah, the runny. Yeah, the egg where you cut in and eggs. The yolk is still runny. Boy, yeah. You'd think an episode all about eggs, we'd at least know the basics of which ones.
I don't, though, because like I said, I don't really love eggs. Yeah. So I don't really know. The differences. Yeah.
Me, as the person who brought this idea, should know more about eggs. Okay, yeah. All right.
It's yummy.
It is yummy.
And so then I think it's ended up sharing it a few times and then one person. And I think you kind of started getting your own burger.
Yeah, it got to the point where I'm like, well, I
could. But you would eat part of mine in the end anyway. Yeah. So, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. All right. So what about your number one?
Okay, I guess I should do my number one first since it probably matters more to you.
It does.
To reveal your number one in the end.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Sure.
Okay, number one, my very favorite way to have visible eggs is potato salad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
And that's not something you make overly often. I suppose you eat it whenever it's available.
Yes, I really love potato salad. Huh. You know, and I'm putting this down as number one. Where, I maybe like the taste of maybe the Red Robin Burger a little bit more, or I maybe have the Scrambler more often. Mm-hmm. But this one, is something that I actually make myself. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why I put it as number one. But I do love it, and I don't get it very often. Mm-hmm. And so I usually make it, a couple times during the summer. Right. And I really like the way that I make it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the only times that I'll eat mustard.
Yeah,
by the way.
Gotta hide it in there with all that other stuff. Mayo and mustard, right?
Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip, yeah.
Is what I put in. Yeah. Miracle Whip, mustard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like it. And so, you know, it's kind of a side ingredient, you know. Not the potato, nor the dressing.
Yeah, but it's in there. And it's visible. Mm-hmm. You can see pieces of egg. Yeah. It applies. Yeah, my family also likes potato salad. And I'll often find that my grandma, who we will go see, we'll go have her Christmas tonight.
Yeah.
She will buy eggs or a potato salad and then just boil a bunch of eggs and add them to potato salad. So there's more eggs. Yeah, she likes hers. Very eggy
as
well.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Deb, we're to my number one. And
okay.
Deb, my number one way to partake of a visible egg in a dish is a fried egg on a burger. So, it is the Red Robin. Yeah. Although I'm not picky. It doesn't have to be from Red Robin.
Right.
I mean, I will just do it sometimes on my own.
That's true.
We'll fry up or we'll grill up a hamburger and I'll say, I'm just going to make an egg. Maybe I'll spawn an egg. I don't think. Have you
just
ever?
Just going to put an egg on this.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to put an egg on it. Although you're right, my favorite way is when the yolk is still liquid, so that you can break the yolk.
That used to bother me, when we would share the burger
cut the yolk,
and there's the yolk all over everything.
So good. I've said before to other people that I think if you could find a way to perfectly replicate just the liquid yolk and serve it warm, I would have liquid yolk with a lot of stuff.
I think probably that's a thing.
It might be. I'm just worried just it goes yolks? Bad. As soon as the egg cracks open and the yolk is exposed, does it start to spoil?
I'm pretty sure they sell just yolks.
Just yolks. Probably. This is probably a thing. You can probably just buy a ketchup bottle of yolk stuff.
Well, I think it comes in a carton.
Oh, okay.
I've never bought it, but feel like this is a thing.
Yeah, something like warm. That's some of my favorite part of all of this is it's just warm yolk. And just dip some bread in it, put it on top of a burger, just use it as a condiment.
Oh,
warm yolk, the condiment. Okay.
But that's fine.
It's okay. All right. So All right, Deb, it's clear from this back and forth we've had that you love eggs, just like like deep seated in your heart. And so I thought, as part of expressing your love for eggs, we would take time to figure out how much you actually know about eggs.
Okay.
So we're going to do that in a segment I'm calling Quiz Me, Baby. Yeah, Deb.
This is going to be great.
I thought for sure, Deb, number one egg lover, you would just like nail an egg quiz.
Probably.
Yeah, so that I think we've got 10 questions here that will just prove that you are truly, truly number one on the egg fan list.
It matters.
It does. All right, so Deb, here's my first question. If you want to compete at home and see if you know more about eggs than our resident egg lover, Deb, feel free to play along.
Yeah, come at me, bro.
All right, that's right. All right, Deb. First, I'm going to start off easy, and these might get harder as we go.
Okay.
And more obscure. I'm really excited about this one. All right, Deb, first question is just true or false.
Okay.
The older the chicken, the thinner the eggshell for the eggs they lay.
You know, there is a thing to this thinner eggshell. Yeah. I feel like the 100 and some eggs that we just bought have a thinner eggshell than other ones that we've had.
Yeah. I put them into the boiling water and they just popped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's true.
Deb, that's false.
Oh.
Deb. All right. Well, good try. Mm. All right, Deb. This one's a little tricky. We'll see. Which offers more protein, the egg white or the egg yolk?
I'm going to say the yolk, Luke.
Deb, that was a trick question. They're the same.
Oh.
Egg white. I know. Egg white and egg yolk provide the same amount of protein.
So what's the difference in like nutrients?
Calories. Well, I don't know about nutrients.
Maybe more calories. Oh,
yeah,
than
for
the yolk.
Sure. The yolk has like the cholesterol and all that
stuff.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And that's maybe also why I shouldn't make a condiment that's just egg yolks, because I think there's a lot of cholesterol. But maybe it's the good cholesterol.
I don't know enough about it, Luke. Yeah.
I think good cholesterol comes from like vegetables, like nuts and avocados.
Is cholesterol in vegetables?
Yeah. Well, I mean, an avocado for sure has cholesterol in it, right?
Avocado's a fruit.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
It is, right?
All right. Yeah, sure. It's a fruit.
I don't know would enough you put about it in, cholesterol,
would you
Luke.
Put it? Would you put it in a fruit salad, Deb?
I mean, maybe. It is a fruit, though.
Yeah, sure. Just like a tomato, right?
Well, it's got the seeds.
That's all right.
I'm pretty sure it's non-debatable that an avocado is a fruit, Luke.
Okay. All right. Okay. You can let us know, is avocado a fruit or a vegetable?
Well, what's the question? It's got the seed.
I know. I mean, okay, here's the question. Would you call it a fruit? You're like, I'm going to go to the fruit section and get an avocado, or are you going to go to the vegetable section to get an avocado?
You're going to go to the produce section where it has like vegetables and fruits.
Okay, all right. I think we're on semantics now. All right, Deb.
No, definitions.
Oh, definitions.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. All right. So, Deb, what percentage of the world's eggs are eaten by China? Of all the eggs made in the world, what percentage are eaten by people in China? And I'll give you can hit any of the tens, you know, like even percentage.
If you're singling out China or like any nation, like it must be either very little or a lot. So it
good
must
question.
Be one
you
of
think
the extremes.
China's big.
I think that's true. Most populous nation in the world. Am I right?
I don't know. Between that and India, I actually don't know the answer.
Oh, yeah.
I think it might be China, but India might be close.
I'm going to say 80%
of the world's eggs.
I'm going to say 70% of the world's eggs.
Deb, that's a good guess. It's only 40.
Oh.
I mean, but still, that's a lot. I mean, I think they're the biggest egg eater.
That's
a
lot.
Almost half the eggs produced in the world are eaten by just the country of China.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should have thought through that answer a little bit more. All right, carrying on.
We're going to switch over to the science section, a little nature science. I mean, we've kind of been in the science section. We're going to switch over to a couple questions that are a little bit more nature related.
Okay.
Which bird lays the largest egg?
An ostrich.
Deb, you got that correct.
Uh-huh.
Is that your first one you got right?
I think so.
It is the first one.
Okay.
All right, Deb. Your egg. All right. All right, Deb. I'm sure you'll nail this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Deb. Monotremes. You know monotremes?
What?
Monotremes are mammals who lay eggs.
Oh, okay. That's a new one for me.
Yeah, this is
monotremes. Here,
so, yeah, this is like a junior high science question. Mm. Besides the duckbill platypus, name another monotreme.
Mammals that lay eggs.
Yeah. So they're warm-blooded.
Okay.
They nurse their young. They have fur.
But they also lay eggs. So a duckbill platypus, I don't know, a mongoose.
Deb.
What?
Do you know what a mongoose is?
No.
Okay.
Is it a bird?
No.
A mongoose.
A mongoose. It does have the word goose. Yes, a mongoose is a mammal.
Yeah, so right?
Okay, let me help you out. Here's some fiction.
Mammal that like maybe lays an
because
egg.
Because goose is in its name?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, see, that was probably right. why I
So
said
let me
that.
Help you out here. A mongoose, a famous mongoose would be Rikki Tikki Tavi.
I don't know that.
Oh,
don't know that. Okay. I know, I should know that, but I don't.
Anyway, Rikki Tikki Tavi. It's more like a weasel.
Okay.
Anyway, that's a mongoose.
Goose in the name. Yeah, that's probably why I thought of
so
it.
So, Deb, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Okay. A mongoose is not a monotreme. An echidna.
I'd have never heard of that.
Okay. It's kind of like, it kind of looks like a hedgehog, but it's got kind of a longer, needly nose.
If you would have said, besides an echidna, another mammal that lays, I would have said platypus.
Another monotreme. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. No. Echidnas, there's lots of different types of platypi and a lot of different types of echidnas, but anyway, echidnas, platypus. All right. Deb, we're gonna go off the rails here just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
All right, so I'm gonna give you a quote from a famous artist. His name is H.R. Giger. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Okay, well, this is gonna make this question harder.
Okay.
So one day, this famous artist, H.R. Giger, known for his kind of creepy artwork, looked at an egg and thought to himself, and I'm gonna quote here, I'm gonna exclude some words, but what if instead of a yolk, this egg contained a spider made of an octogenarian's hand that assaults your face, implanting a monster in your chest.
What?
Okay, so that was his quote.
Okay.
Okay. This idea gave birth to what iconic movie series?
Aliens.
I will accept it, Deb. Yes, it is the Alien movie series.
I thought the second
one's called Aliens.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, you nailed it. Yes, H.R. Giger. He's the artist who kind of designed the xenomorph. Yeah, that whole thing where there's
is that
face...
the monster?
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. They start off as an egg that comes open, then a face hugger like basically jumps on your face.
Oh, yeah.
And then it lays its eggs in your chest, and then they're called chest bursters where they pop out of your. Anyway, it's a whole thing. It's gross.
It is a
good
whole
job,
thing,
Deb. But you got that one right.
I have
Deb,
succeeded you're, in forgetting.
Yeah, you're two for
all right.
Two for whatever. All right, Deb. So, are you familiar with the term Easter eggs in movies and things?
Yeah.
So, what is an Easter egg?
It's like a hidden, you know, something you can discover. That's delightful.
Yeah. So Easter eggs. The term actually originated in video games.
Oh.
It originated in the game Adventure. Have you ever played Adventure on the Atari?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, on that game, you guide around a dot with your single joystick and single button. You guide around a dot to collect things that are not dots, basically like keys or things. And you try to avoid try to avoid all the dots. You also try to avoid what is a dragon but actually looks like a duck because the Atari. Anyway, look it up. Adventure on the Atari. So the guy who made it, Warren... Robinette actually hid his name because at the time you didn't, if you designed something, you wouldn't be included in the credits. It was just the company's product.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. It was just the way the industry was at the time. Like even in Japan, it was that way for a long time after Atari, where you didn't even know who worked on a game because it was the company's name. No artists or like designers wherever or programmers were included.
Is that how it was with like Mario?
For a long time, yeah, you wouldn't know. Like, there wouldn't
like,
be credits.
Know. I don't know who.
Right,
made
and
that.
So we'd know now through a lot of things about Shigeru Miyamoto. Boy, I don't know if I'm saying his first name right, but anyway, Miyamoto. Anyway, so the guy who made this, he made this Easter egg. That was the first Easter egg back in 1979. He put a little dot on the secret screen you could go to that would say created by and have his name on it.
Okay.
So anyway, this started this whole thing. Like he talked with some other people and they said, why did you call it an they started calling it an Easter egg because in an interview he started mentioning this thing about like how it's like waking up on like Easter morning and looking for eggs around. And so things that were hidden
like a
started
hunt.
Things that were hidden starting and calling Easter eggs. So
okay.
In video games, there's a very famous Easter egg. It started in the 1986 video game Gradius.
Oh,
Okay. So, Deb, this, I'm going to give you this, this Easter egg is called the Konami code. Deb, here's your question after all that preamble.
Yeah.
What is the Konami code?
A, B, B, left, right, up, down, left, right.
Deb, that's incorrect. You may have had...
Am I close?
You had, like, all the components just in the wrong order.
Oh.
So, I mean, not all the components. It is up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A.
Oh, man.
So, Deb, just a bonus.
I was close.
You are close. Deb, a bonus. What does the Konami code do for you?
It unlocks, like... infinite lives, infinite, like you can't die. You just play through Mario, right?
No.
Yeah, no. I just mean, let me finish.
Yeah.
Right? Because I've got it, right?
Yeah, you got it. Keep going.
So you can play through Mario and never lose.
Got it. Nailed it. Got it in one. So Deb, good try. So it just gives you a ton of lives.
Yeah. Oh.
And I think in some games it might start you with a bunch of power-ups.
Is it only on Mario?
It's only on Konami games, which Mario is not a Konami game. So it's only games made by Konami. It'd be things like Contra and Gradius. I think it works on Life Force. Other Konami Nintendo games. Good try, Deb.
Wow.
All right, Deb.
Yeah.
All right, let's get away from video games. That's maybe not, like, that may have been a little bit more for me than for you. But more egg trivia. Deb.
Okay.
The lyrics of this famous song that contain a reference to an egg are as follows. Tell me which famous song that contains reference to an egg which famous song includes these lyrics.
Okay.
All right. And they also reference an egg, but not in these lyrics. All right.
Mm.
Sitting on a cornflake, waiting for the van to come, corporation t-shirt, stupid bloody Tuesday, man, you've been a naughty boy. You let your face grow long.
That's a Beatles song.
Mm.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Is that it?
The name of the song is Good Morning?
Sure. The name of the song is Good Morning.
Deb, that was close. You're correct. It is a Beatles song. The name of the song is I Am the Walrus.
Oh,
I am the Eggman. So that's the reference.
Oh, got it.
I am the Walrus.
I forgot we were talking about eggs.
Yeah. It's almost like the designer of this quiz. It's possible things have gone far enough off the rails. You didn't even know this was an egg quiz.
Now all of a sudden it was Beatles trivia.
The Eggman. I am the Eggman. I am the Walrus. I'm the Walrus.
I think I was channeling Eggs in the Morning, though.
Good Morning.
Like, good Morning.
Yeah,
good morning,
I could get that. All right, Debbie, you are incorrect.
I know.
Deb, you're not doing great on this quiz, but keep it up.
I've never pretended to be an egg fan.
I mean, except for this episode, obviously. All right, Deb, I think we're on like question number 9 or something like that.
Okay.
All right, Deb, in the 1988 classic film, The Land Before Time.
Oh, yeah.
We see a number of eggs hatch.
Mm-hmm.
Which of the film's 5 main characters is the last to hatch on screen?
I think it's the Triceratops. What is her name? Sarah, maybe? I think I'm going to say the Triceratops. Sarah.
Deb, you are incorrect.
Ducky?
Nope. Keep going.
Is it Littlefoot?
Nope. Good job knowing all these characters, though.
Is it Petrie?
No, Deb. You have one left.
Oh, man. And that's the one
the one you don't know.
Is it a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
No.
I love dinosaurs.
I know. Deb, good job, Deb. Deb, his name, you want me to help you out or you want to keep going?
Sure.
His name is Spike.
Oh, Spike.
And he's the Stegosaurus.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yes.
We see him quite late.
Okay.
You remember all of the other ones kind of, they hatch pretty early on, early in the movie.
Yeah.
And then later on, Ducky actually stumbles into him. He is just being born, and she comments on how late he is being hatched.
Okay.
And she kind of helps him hatch, and he's that kind of that big, lazy one. He just like
eats
all that grass that he was born in.
He doesn't really talk, right?
He does not talk.
Oh, that's a good movie.
It's a good movie. Yeah.
Thanks for that callback, Luke.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Deb, we're going to end with one. I don't know if you're going to like this one, but here we go.
Okay.
Okay. Balut, Balut, is a popular food commonly sold by street vendors in the Philippines and Vietnam. While many consider it delicious, it can be stomach-turning for others. What is ballot?
Is it fish eggs?
Deb, if only it were that simple. No, it is not.
Oh, is it eggs?
It is eggs.
Okay.
Good. I mean, you could have gotten partial points just by saying. So, Deb.
Hey, Luke, it's eggs.
So, this is a fertilized duck egg that is allowed to incubate for 18 days so that the duck is partially developed.
Mm.
And then you just eat that. So, you eat a fertilized, partially developed egg. So,
okay.
Maybe if you want to, like, if you have a solid stomach.
Not for me.
Yeah,
not
if you feel, if you have a strong stomach
yeah.
and you feel like, okay, I'm brave, look up pictures of ballot. It is, yeah, you crack open the egg and it's a partially developed, you see the little embryo, or you see the, you know, developed duck.
It's a baby duck.
And you just pop it in your mouth.
Hmm.
A whole duck.
It's not for me.
Not for you. Okay, Deb, that may
two,
be.
Two, no, that, three. No, I think no, I got two out of 10.
That may be your worst quiz ever.
Worst now, quiz ever.
That may be on the teacher. When a student does that poorly. Yeah,
that's true.
Or it's a number of students do that poorly, you're like, maybe I didn't teach this very well. So it's maybe I did not prepare you for this quiz very well.
It's a hazard of the podcast, I think.
Sometimes you're going to have hits and you're going to have misses. All right.
Yep.
Deb, well, we're going to wrap things up here with the new segment we've been doing. We did last show and we're going to continue on. This is our segment called Precious Moments.
This is a fun one.
Yeah, and so a reminder, Precious Moments, this is a place where we share something that has been bringing us joy over the last few weeks since we've podcasted. So,
yeah,
Deb, can you tell me, what has been your recent Precious Moment?
Well, I've been dealing a little bit for the last 10 to 12 days with the flu.
Mm.
And kind of what came along with that was like some anxious nights, I think. Mm-hmm. I was not able to sleep very well.
Right, yeah.
And I think it was just a general feeling of feeling anxious. The holiday season, lots going on at school, trying to wrap things up. The weather has not been good off and on. We've had some storm systems come through. And I think just wanting to appreciate this season as much as I can, but not being able to because I've been homesick for 2 weeks or more and trying to work, though, at the same time. Something that has brought a little bit of calm to my life that's been kind of precious is Chris Rice's Living Room Sessions Christmas Edition.
Okay.
It's just instrumental Christmas music, just the piano, I believe, in most cases, just the piano. And I like the way that it kind of trains my brain to slow down. All of a sudden when it comes on, you're like, oh, okay, this is a different pace.
Yeah, we can chill.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, oh, okay. Like, this is how what it's like to kind of slow down. So anything that can kind of just, like, help with savoring the season, I think is really a precious thing right now.
That's a good precious moment.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mine is kind of along those lines a little bit. So my precious moment is the beauty of winter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Explain.
Well, so while you were sick, about a week or two ago, I took the kids out to Dorothy Pico Nature Center. And that's something we like to do from time to time and just walk. And it had just snowed on the Friday before we went there. And so we went there on a Saturday. We went there and it was, I didn't realize this, but they were having kind of a Saturdays at the park type event where they did lots of kind of neat little things set up, like some hot chocolate, roasting marshmallows. They had little slingshots where you could shoot pebbles at cans. You know, just little things and a craft fair and things like that. But what I really enjoyed about it was we went on one of our hikes around the kind of the trails there. And since it had just snowed and we were there kind of early-ish in the morning, the sun was just coming up through the trees. And so the kids were all kind of walking on the trail and you could see the rays of the sun kind of going through these snow-covered branches.
Yeah.
And it was very quiet. I love how quiet it gets in winter when you're outside, especially if it's very calm or even a little bit dark at night. And so I really enjoyed just the beauty of walking walking. It was kind of neat. They had set up, they'd taken a book and taken all the pages out of the books and put them at different stops along the trail. So as you
walk. The kids did or the staff?
No, the staff did.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, they were kind of these like little, what do you call them? Like kiosk stands, uh-huh. but with a page of a book behind it. So if you walked the whole trail, you could read a book. And the book was about what animals do during the winter.
Oh, that's neat.
It was, yeah. So it was a little picture book. So we made sure we stopped at every stop to do that. But and I love being the first person to put down footprints in snow, mm-hmm. you know, and just, or being the, feels like the only person alive in like a very quiet area. And like you said, we went on that walk. We went down to our golf course and walked on their frozen pond. Oh, that was
great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was cold. It was snowing. It was really beautiful. And we were the only ones out there.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I've had some really profound great experiences with just the beauty of winter, the coldness, the quiet when everything seems to be sleeping and you can just kind of experience that. So yeah, that's been my precious moments.
Yeah. That sounds like some good time with the kids too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had some good time together. So, all right. Well, thank you very much for listening to our excellent episode. I got one in.
Yep.
If you are not familiar with our podcast, you can always call in and talk to us. You can call into our voicemail line.
Hey, Luke. Hey, did anybody call in after our Deb's like acknowledgement of 40th? Nobody called in with a Deb memory.
Okay, I'm okay with that. But also, we did. I hate to say it, but I did not do a very good job of advertising it. It's buried pretty deep.
It is, and do like, are many people listening anymore?
Yeah, I think we have our standards, you know. Okay. But like I said, we will continue to do this as long as it makes sense.
Yeah.
We are not going to grow a huge audience,
nope.
But the family and a few friends who listen, I hope you enjoy.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone, to you and yours.
Yes. So, well, we thank you very much for listening, and we hope you enjoy your Christmas. Have some eggs, maybe a deviled egg, maybe...
Yeah, have some eggs. Hey, Luke, we didn't really say our call number, did we?
Oh, yeah, if you want to call
in.
I interrupted you. Sorry, no, it's okay. If you want to call in, 61 Airzo Volt is what you put on your touchpad. Mm-hmm. I don't know what those numbers are, but 61 Airzo Volt.
And you can find all of our episodes, past episodes, which we have some Christmas ones out there if you want to listen to some good Christmas music.
Yeah.
At mydarlingsdistractions.net.
Yeah,
is that
and
right?
It would take you to the Buzzsprout page. So that So that's over at mydarlingsdistractions.buzzsprout.com.
All right.
And then we can see them all there.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.